Hello, welcome to the Laughing Place podcast. My name is, I really shouldn't come up with the name today.
Troy.
My name is Troy. To my right is...
Yeah?
Monique?
Okay. Don't see, you went from character name to
I'm
actor.
Zach. To my right is Monique.
Okay, I can handle that.
Across from me is Vanessa.
Hi.
And to my left is Sharpay, played by Ashley.
I think
no.
I just accidentally sent the wrong pictures.
Ashley
Tisdale? Oh, no, it is Ashley.
Ashley.
I'm going to bust my brothers.
Oh, no, you're Cordon Bleu, the chef.
Cordon Bleu.
did he grow his afro back for the special?
No. I mean, it's delightful.
We are delightful hair. All in this together.
We're all in this.
I couldn't believe how much of those silly dances I could still remember.
You remember when they did the High School Musical pep rally first in Tomorrowland and it was terrible, and then they decided to up their game a little bit and move it to Hollywood Studios?
We are celebrating the 10th anniversary today, as we record this, January 20th, of the original Disney Channel original movie phenomena. High School Musical, which begat High School Musical 2, High School Musical 3.
And High School Musical Get in the Picture.
High School Musical Get in the Picture. All of which, except for the last one, had versions at Disney parks.
There was also...
Monique Coleman also got to do the Candlelight Processional out of this. And it was one of the best I've seen. Maybe the best I've actually ever seen. So.
She was always a delightful interview on the red carpet.
She is.
Yep.
And the entire cast got together except for the one insignificant one, Zac Efron.
He was there in video, which they were all there in video, so what does it matter?
Wasn't in the same video.
I don't believe so.
Because he went on to bigger and better things.
What are your memories of it?
It was that segment. It was the segment where each star was recounting what their favorite moment from the project was. And so each one recorded it. But his was...
Every paycheck comes on Thursday.
But his video was surprisingly...
poignant?
Embracing and thankful.
Yeah, he's never, like, shied away from it or tried to, like, make himself seem like he's bigger than it now.
No.
I read an article that said all the cast of High School Musical looked fondly upon the time, except for perhaps Zac Efron.
That's weird.
But I don't know if that article's accurate.
You know what? I think he has some ill feelings regarding the fact his voice singing was dubbed initially, and then he fought for
Debbie
it.
Reynolds
in the
style?
In the third one, I believe it was finally.
Even the second one, they let him
have some.
Drew Seeley was only involved in the
first
one.
You know my favorite part about
Fusilli.
That?
Drew Seeley.
That's who I was kind of hoping we'd see.
Zach Fusilli.
Yeah, it's really funny because they, like, when High School Musical took off, they then did the High School Musical concert tour, but because Zac Efron couldn't hit the notes, like
he was also filming Hairspray was the official excuse.
That was the official excuse, but his range doesn't go as high as Breaking Free does. And so Drew Seeley did the tour, and then they did a DVD of the tour. And I remember, like, talking to a fan, and they were like, I didn't understand why Zac Efron wasn't in the tour, why they had some other guy there.
Yeah.
He can't sing.
He can sing. He just doesn't have the same range as the songs that were written for it.
I don't think Hairspray could have been his excuse because Hairspray was done after High School Musical 2 and that tour was done before.
No. That tour was done, I think, after they filmed High School Musical 2, but before it premiered.
Oh, okay.
But
it was fun to hear them gush about Kenny Ortega. All of them. They had a lot of behind the scenes footage of him interacting and demonstrating the dances, and they talked about how he used to give these really inspirational pep talks and just stuff like that. So it was just another opportunity to see, in my opinion, just how cool it would be to work with Kenny Ortega.
He seems
like somebody who'd be really cool to work with.
I think this brings up something special, a special edition of Should They Be a Disney Legend?
Kenny Ortega. Yeah.
Give me his bona fides.
Newsies. Hocus Pocus.
High School Musical.
And Descendants. I was with you until you said Hocus Pocus.
Descendants. But most importantly, Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, and recently Descendants.
I would say Kenny Ortega will be a Disney legend, without a doubt.
So.
And he will bring the popcorn.
That was High School 3, right?
It was two.
Three was theatrical. That's right. So yeah, it was two.
Three was theatrical.
Yeah, I remember they announced that it was Haunted High School Musical, and then
that
happened.
That phenomenon.
Do you remember the Mrs. Darbus series?
What was it called? It was based on whatever the high school's name was. It was like something high.
Fast Times at McKinley High.
Saved by the Bell.
And then they
Had the Sharpay movie.
Oh, they did.
That was...
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then they had a... All sorts... They had a, like this remix, really randomized remix of the High School Musical, including some ridiculous Hawaiian chant of some sort.
And let's not forget, Kenneth Feld presents High School Musical on Ice.
Oh, that was awesome. Was it on ice or was it just live?
No, it was on
ice. It was on ice, yeah.
Because
yeah,
High School Musical Live
right.
was done as like
a concert tour.
Yeah.
No, it was a...
I went to that.
It was like a stage show that toured like a normal Disney show would.
No, it was a... I mean, it was a concert. It had some theatrics to it, but it was definitely... What they did was they would sing a song all together, and then they would... Like, Corbin Bleu would do his solo stuff, then they would sing a song together, and then Lucas was, like, the MC of the whole thing.
There was a production without any of them in it that around.
No,
that was
done
by Disney.
It wasn't a tour. They did it kind of like a... They did it, and then I... Oh, you know what? It might have been a tour.
It
a
was
short
a tour,
tour,
yeah.
And then they licensed it.
They did eventually license
yeah,
it, but first they
did
a tour.
We saw a version of it at Orlando Science Center.
Yeah, that's what I remembered seeing was that. And then, but I didn't remember the other one being on ice. Man, that's funny. I remember the lockers. All these lockers appearing on the floor.
Wait,
but
didn't
I forgot.
We see a production live?
That's what he was just saying at the Science Center.
Where were you?
Stu Gatz over there.
How about that?
Either that or Greg Cody just walking around. Sorry, we're in Levitard
land. Yeah, for those
now.
Who don't watch Dan Levitard's Burning or whatever that show is.
It's not that. All right. I did have a little bit of breaking news today.
And okay.
This probably is going to dovetail into our main subject,
okay.
But I was very sad to see that the goat trick is no longer present at Disneyland. They were,
what?
They removed the goats. That was big news. There were a lot of protesters.
He doesn't know how the goat trick works.
What, you tried to look at them over the Big Thunder Ranch as you were riding the train?
So I never quite got the goat trick. I tried it, and now I guess I'll never get the chance.
Wait, they took away the goat on top of
no,
Big Thunder?
No, he's being an idiot.
It, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know, breaking news.
I see what you're saying. I have done the goat trick, by the way, and it is exhilarating.
Yes, but it
oh,
doesn't.
My goodness.
It well,
so
many that's
times.
Because
I swear
you...
my whole nerves in my body all like seized
that's...
up at once.
Now, you can do those silly magic eye books, right? Where you look at something and
I have never successfully seen the image.
Okay, see him either.
That if you do the goat trick and drink a Coke, you die.
Probably. I remember feeling like
it messes
like
with
my body
head.
Shouldn't be feeling like this
no,
when I did
it's, it. It's trippy.
Yeah.
It's very trippy. I don't
for those
do
of you
it
who
anymore.
Don't know, in Disneyland's Big Thunder Mountain, there's a bank curve, and if you look at the top of the peak, there's a goat, and if you keep your keep your head facing the goat, your neck kind of strains in a weird way, and it creates this bizarro sensation from your top of your head to your toes.
And I'm sure if you
toes.
Research it, people can tell you where is the optimal seat right. on the train to experience
you gotta
be in
the
said
back,
effect.
Right?
Like, I
probably,
can't remember.
You have to probably be pulled. I think
no
I was
idea.
In the back when we did it.
I've sat in the very back. I've watched that goat until the goat was completely out of sight, and then got zero out of it.
No, yeah, no.
It whips. Nothing.
But you did hurt your neck trying to turn sideways when we went through through the Mickey loop.
It is a great view of the park. To be
He's
looking
like,
to the side
I
and watch
I
want to
watch the park as we go.
It is a pretty awesome thing to see.
But old man
recovering.
Tweaked his neck. Old man.
Down the Advil after that.
My lumbago's acting up.
Hey, honey, can you give me a sarsaparilla? Root beer, they're calling you now. Question for you guys.
Oh, yeah, sure.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how brokenhearted are you that the horseshoe pile is gone from Disneyland?
Like a 3.
There, it actually rates?
I would say, I mean, it's a big part of Disney history in its own way. I don't think it's, I mean, it's a tetanus shot waiting to happen. But, you know, it is kind of cool that throughout all the years, this thing has survived.
For
until
today. Uninitiated, why don't you enlighten them as to what this pile of horseshoes was?
Well, I guess technically it'd be mule shoes, right? Because this isn't from the mule pack.
Yes.
Right, so they...
But I don't know if it was from the mule or from the...
Right, well...
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if they use the UK. I mean, there's four different sizes on the shoes. You don't know which one you're supposed to look at, cause depending on what country.
You Wikipedia this.
So, the mule pack was there, and they would replace the horseshoes, but, up kind of where Big Thunder Ranch is, and they would just toss them into this pile. And then as the time wore on, it became this, rusted mountain of horseshoes or mule shoes or whatever you want to call it.
They're horseshoes.
It
doesn't
matter
what they're on.
Is it true that they tried to blow them down with a bulldozer and it bounced back?
Bounced off. I think we need to start that one.
I will say
actually, those horseshoes predate Disneyland. They were digging and...
and they found them.
I think it's cool when something has survived that long. I don't think it's anything to lose sleep over.
I wish that I had seen them in person because I didn't know that they existed until after they announced that it was closing, and I didn't go back there.
Our little one has.
Afterwards. So,
surprised they didn't show it to you at some point.
Yeah, I was surprised too. Great tour guide you are.
I don't even remember these horseshoes. I, to my knowledge, had never heard of these horseshoes until after it was announced they were leaving and people started crying.
You didn't pay attention then because we were at Disneyland. And our pal Doug
I remember him
said,
the entrance to the tunnel.
Our pal Doug said, I want to show Gideon the horseshoes at the ranch. And we said, you go ahead. We're going to go ride Big Thunder.
So we were at Disneyland, and Doug was talking about some archaic piece of history.
Exactly.
And I wasn't completely focused on what he was saying.
Because you are not there anymore. You went through your e-ticket mouse tails persistence of vision
hub,
phase.
Not compass.
Yes, you went through that phase, and now you have gone beyond it.
So would people... I have a question, like on Midnight at the... or Showtime at the Apollo. Would people run up and, rub them for good luck before going on Big Thunder or something?
They were over
you
by the ranch.
You do not want to touch those.
They were over by the ranch.
Yeah, they were...
But
by
were they terribly accessible? Or
no,
were, they were kind of,
you couldn't
up,
touch
right?
No. Yeah. Yeah, it was, off to the side. You could color and look at
did
it.
A lot of, picture? I have another question.
We hold it up for you guys.
By the way, you've seen them. You just don't know that you've seen them.
Was this a really common engagement spot, too?
Yeah, when I proposed to Rebecca, I was like, the wishing well, the castle, or the horseshoes. And ultimately, I went with Rob's.
But it was cute because it doesn't look like what it is because it's so ancient, right? So it was cute because Doug took Gideon over to look at them. And then when Gideon came back, Gideon was like, I don't know what he was showing me, but I told him.
I can't believe what I just saw.
But, but it was cool because he did see it. He saw the mound. And so, someday in the future when he's looking at Disney history books, he will have known that he witnessed it. He will have memory of that.
Another thing I had no idea existed until it was gone was the running of the goats.
Okay, I didn't know about that one. That was funny. And I felt bad for the goats that last time.
Yeah,
there were a lot of people there.
Goats are probably going, I ain't going back there tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
When that truck came to take them to the farm, they were as happy as could be.
You say farm, I say glue factory.
Having live animals is going to be a little... But they didn't have those this whole time, right? I feel like that
the
came.
Goats?
Yeah, I feel like the ranch element kind of came on in later years.
They had it, they got rid of it,
and then they brought it back.
When I became a fan,
there was no petting zoo.
No, I didn't pay $43 for a petting zoo.
No, that's just, it was one of those things.
Can you imagine if they put in a petting zoo now how much they expect me to pay $100 to go to a petting zoo?
Yeah, okay. But
thank you, Andy Richter.
It was a sweet little, area, and it means a lot to people, and they'll be sad, and I'm mad about the water tower, so, I'm not going to, march on Burbank, but I'm sad about Earful Tower.
Actually, Lake Buena Vista.
I am sad about Earful Tower, too.
Yeah.
We must do a popcorn churro on this, by the way. Fanboy, spell Earful.
E-A-R-F-U-L.
Alex?
I concur with his spelling.
Rebecca? You are both wrong. It is a tribute to the Eiffel Tower, and therefore it is spelled like the Eiffel Tower, but with ear instead.
And Doobie, make sure you are wrong. Okay.
Yes, I know. I'm the minority opinion on this.
So the goat's gone, the horseshoe's gone, the ranch is gone, the part of the track is gone, the river's gone, the Eiffel Tower is gone.
The chalet will be going, right?
Which chalet?
the Phantom Menace, Chris Skyway.
Finally?
Yeah, the Skyway. Yeah, I know the Skyway Chalet, from what I understand, will be part of this.
So I guess they're never bringing them back.
Well, okay, we knew that part. They kind of plugged up the mountain. That was kind of my first sign. But it'll be weird to
don't test that.
to not have the chalet up there. So, you know, hey, thanks. Like I was posting, you know, that when friends of mine who were highly emotional over this transition, I said, you know what, when I was a kid, I went to Disneyland on my, you know, seasonal visit. And then the next time I went back, my favorite ride was gone and it had been replaced by Star Tours. It's everything old is new again. You know, it's like, I'm going to go back to Disneyland. Rivers of America will be different and it'll be Star Wars. So, you know, it is what it is.
There's one thing I learned during this whole ordeal is that just because something has memories doesn't make it historic.
True.
Thank you.
And I learned that from Fanboy.
I, too, had never thought of that before until Fanboy.
That actually was. That may be the most intelligent thing you've ever said, and I've known you for what was the 20 years now.
He wrote a thoughtful piece on the brilliance of getting rid of Rivers of America. No,
they're not getting rid of the Rivers of America.
I believe the title was called "Disneyland is Going to Heck in a Handbasket."
Why it's okay for them to ruin Disneyland forever?
Walt spinning in his grave actually just creates energy.
I wonder if you took a poll of people that were Disney fans starting in the 80s and people that were Disney fans starting in the 2000s, which group would miss the traditional river the most? Because I feel like the last major construction project to happen at Disneyland was in 1995. So they're not used to the fact that you have to sometimes change things and move on to get new things. Like, I just remember, you know, people complaining Star Tours being in the park. I remember people complaining about Fantasmic Ruin New Orleans Square forever. And, you well, know, the, and we'd always go like,
the latest,
you know,
was the closing of the Court of Mirror Angels or whatever, right?
Yeah, but that one's a little different because they're not actually enhancing the park with it.
I mean, they are for the club members.
Right, but that's... I mean, I can see why that one's a little bit more controversial, but, you know, when it comes to building new attractions, things have to come and go, and eventually...
Will Disneyland ever be complete?
And then there was because with Light Magic, we had all that transition in the Small World area.
Yeah, SWM.
The terracing of that area.
Which people complained endlessly about how they're ruining the charm of Small World Mall.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh yeah.
That was a disaster area before Light Magic. If there's one thing Light Magic did,
yeah,
one
it's
thing,
a great
it was,
area.
Yeah.
Yeah,
especially during Christmas.
The only thing it didn't do was improve their stroller situation.
God, just ban them from the park.
No, stop. So yeah.
Strollers
and then the what's the other big transition that I remember being very upsetting?
I have to imagine people complained about rerouting the Jungle Cruise when Indy opened.
Oh, perhaps.
I mean, it was just before the internet era, but if they knew or if it happened now, they would be complaining.
Toad Hall. That was when they moved Toad Hall for Agrabah or whatever it was.
Yeah,
just the storybook one, let alone taking it out of Magic Kingdom.
Well, and then recently dumping the mill for Frozen wasn't it highly popular?
Oh, where I was at today, I was just at a birthday party for my lovely little boy, and there was a Disney fan there who, nice guy, very nice guy.
Yeah.
But talked about how, you know, I'm kind of a fan of Walt, too, and said he hated the changes in Small World, putting the characters in there.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah, that's another one.
We got
a
letter from Marty on that one.
That was funny. Yeah.
Nobody likes change.
And then there was the changes to Pirates to reflect the movie.
The only change... I love change. There's never been a change I didn't like. However, LMAX should never go away. I would say that. That's where I draw the line.
I mean, I'm totally fine with Lights, Motors, Action going away.
Oh, yeah.
It's just... It's weird to see attractions that... Well, you're still lamenting what it replaced to begin with. I mean, I'm still missing the Golden Girls house.
Yeah, totally. That'll be
Osborne
fun.
Going away. That may have been crossing the line.
Well, you can't, but you can't have...
Completely going away. Move it to Disney Springs. Who needs a world of Coca-Cola? Put it in the old Disney Quest spot.
Something's got to go in that old Disney Quest spot.
How about Disney Quest? I'm just kidding.
So far.
It'll be interesting.
They just recarpeted
it.
It'll
be interesting to see what happens if they figure out some way with Osborne, because I can't imagine that wasn't a bit of a cash grab, that wasn't a driving force for some people.
I bought the t-shirt, and I bought a second one for Fanboy, and my mom bought one.
So
Fanboy, what else we got? So, Shanghai has an opening date.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Shanghai is opening in June.
It was interesting. I was reading the journal article that kind of broke the news before Disney was ready to break the news.
Like 2 minutes before.
Yeah, and it talked about how a lot of thought had to go into this, and I guess the number 4 is unlucky, mm-hmm. And then they had the Tiananmen Square massacre that they were trying to avoid being tied to. Mm-hmm. So it became sort of a hard negotiation. They were trying to, you know, Bob Iger was on record of saying he wanted to announce opening day before the end of the year. And I think they're actually technically a spring opening by 4 days. So there's that.
But 4 is an unlucky number.
Touché.
From an economic standpoint, do you think the recent economics that are kind of, you know, impacting markets and stuff, do you think that might have Disney a bit concerned about their expectations on the park's performance?
Yes. I know that they always say there's
12 billion, right?
300 million income qualified people for a 3-hour drive. So, you know, there's enough people to go. Mm-hmm. China has a challenge where everyone takes vacation at the same time. Mm-hmm. So there's a capacity concern there.
Right.
But the park, if you look at it, it's really designed to flex out. You know, they talk about this wishing park, you know, to kind of add capacity for festivals and things and shrink back down. They've already approved a sort of a capacity up that won't, you know, so like Soarin' and things that weren't a part of the initial plan. Mm-hmm. But I bet you they are a little bit concerned for a couple things. One is, you know, it's half owned, or, you know, a little bit more than half owned by the Chinese government.
Right.
And so, you know, whenever they're not exactly the most free market kind of laissez-faire government in the world. So it's hard to tell what will happen there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously this is according to China's rising middle class. If that gets stymied by any stretch, but they are concerned. I don't think they're concerned long term, but I think, you know.
Are there adjustments that we as, I don't know, as geeks or consumers, that we would see that would point to such a thing?
I don't think so. The problem is unlike Disneyland or Disney World, you know, I mean, I remember when 9/11 happened, they said, okay, hold it. We're scaling back capital investment. Same thing a little bit with 2008, not to the extent, but, you know, same kind of thing. Because the ownership structure is structured in such a way, it's a partnership, Disney has to contribute a certain amount of cash. Mm-hmm. China has to contribute a certain amount of cash to maintain the negotiated ownership stake. And so it's not something where they can really cut the budget. They can't really be over budget either. So it's a harder line to walk than a domestic park or even Paris, where we kind of control it, where you can say, okay, you know, I can see they're investing in a lot of things. Or I can see they've really cut back, you mm-hmm. know, hours. The only thing you could probably see is if once it's open, up and running, if it's open from 10 to 5 compared to 8 to midnight.
Right.
But also, I don't know culturally what operating hours to expect.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting learning curve to gauge what its success is, because it's a completely different market and operating environment than we've ever really, you know, seen it. I mean, because even Hong Kong would have been a very different dynamic than China mainland.
It'll be fun to see people try to interpret what they have no idea what they're seeing.
Right. No, and that's what I guess that's part of my, you know, bringing up the discussion is to try and, you know, inform our listeners that, that, you know, you have to kind of look at, we're going to have to kind of prepare ourselves to look at this park a little bit differently. We can't kind of try and fit it into our American expectation operation.
When I think about, you know, how relatively poor Star Wars performed in China.
Mm-hmm.
Just an indication that things are different there.
Right.
But hopefully they get a Star Wars land and maybe Episode 9 can become the number one movie of all time internationally.
The park is, you know, what they always say, you know, authentically, it's either authentically Disney, distinctly Chinese, or vice versa. I don't know that it really matters. But, you know, they love dinosaurs, right? So there's a dinosaur land. They love the Pirates of the Caribbean films. So there's, you know, the pirates there is not going to be the Mark Davis pirates we're used to. It's going to be film-based. I mean, more so than
animated. Right.
Is there a Fast and the Furious ride there?
No, but there would be if Disney was a Universal park. So, you know, unlike Tokyo, and which is sort of like the standard bearer for Disney, you know, American Disney fans going to international destination, it's there. They love the American part of Disney. China, not so much. I'm not saying they're anti-American, but they don't have a love for our culture. Mm-hmm. They have a love for our explosions in our films.
Right.
But, you know, so it's going to have a completely different flavor.
General Tso?
Like a chicken order? Very nice. I'm more of an orange chicken kind of fan.
Fresh off the boat.
Will they have a Panda Express in the place?
But they won't serve panda. Did you hear about the, I mean, completely sidetracked, did you hear about the Fresh Off the Boat Panda Express promotion?
Hear about it. I saw it at Panda Express.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He sent me a
picture.
Of
the flyer.
Yeah.
They were like, celebrate Chinese New Year
with Panda
Fresh Off the Boat and
Panda Express. Yep.
Woohoo. I don't watch Fresh Off the Boat because it's not good. But
whoa.
Blanket statement.
You can't say you haven't watched it in forever.
Since it takes place in Orlando. And they are Chinese. Are they going to that China park that's been closed for years?
Splendid China?
They should have an episode where they go to Splendid China.
They really should. Although I don't think it was open. Was this in the 90s?
It is, yeah.
It was open in the 90s. Yeah. That's when it was open. Yeah.
That's when it was open. Now it's Haunted China Land.
We didn't go. My family went. We didn't go that trip.
If I had a drone, I would drone.
I don't even know why I know it. It was like one of the guidebooks got bought up, you know, paid off by.
I know it from its lore of being at one point easy to break into. I guess they've reinforced the walls now, but I knew a lot of cast members at Disney World who had been inside after its closing day.
I know the unofficial guide said the food there is terrible.
My family really enjoyed it when they went. Loved it a lot.
The secret of Splendid China was probably it was run 99? By the Chinese government to try and improve. It was like an embassy. So it was there.
So you could commit crimes there and.
It was. It had like in essence a storybook land of China. You could like walk the Great Wall and visit scaled versions of
Shanghai Disneyland.
China landmarks.
The other park that had the castle and Hello Kitty.
That was Japan.
And that would be in Japan. And then they had a Chinese acrobats presentation.
Yes, of course. Same ones that are.
Yep.
When you pick your fast passes at Shanghai, do you like pick the number 4 and the number 7?
Do any Chinese restaurants even have that anymore?
Yeah.
Okay,
I can't remember the last time I went to a Chinese restaurant that had like you ordered by number.
Going to the attractions, they put them all in a little lazy suit in the center of the park.
I really can't remember from a. When was the last time you went to a Chinese restaurant that had a lazy Susan?
Jackie's still has one.
Oh, really?
For me, it was
we used to go to the walk-in in Anaheim.
Put it in the middle and spin it around.
Yeah, it's probably been about 8 years, but the Great Wall in my hometown, Racine, Wisconsin,
very nice.
Had Lazy Susans on every table. Speaking of
I
ordering by number, the
that.
Best Chinese food in Racine, Wisconsin is a restaurant called Main Moon 2, because there was number 1 and then they opened a second location.
How awesome.
Second one is better. And there, when you look at the menu, it has the names of things, but they're pretty small and the numbers are really big. And so
oh, that's
this,
awesome.
Like, photo menu, and it's like 1 through 50, and
that's
pick your thing.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the merchandise bags, of course, the little white cartons with red writing, red Chinese folded.
I don't think that's actually, and they don't have fortune cookies either.
Chinese food restaurants.
Come on.
Chinese food
restaurants
around here.
There's nothing Chinese about Chinese food restaurants.
No,
Chinese
not.
Food restaurants around here disappoint me greatly because I grew up with fake Chinese
food.
Yeah. And here there's so much, such a huge Chinese population that everything is very authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not getting, like, when I order sesame chicken, I'm like, this is not crispy. This isn't, like, gooey. It's not what I expected.
No, it's not that Americanized version.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
So I never really ate much at Panda Express before, and now I do because it's as close as I can get to the Chinese food that I know and love.
Awesome.
We got to go for Chinese New Year, February 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Is Shanghai Disneyland open on Christmas?
I don't know, but I presume so.
Okay. I just want to make sure all the...
It's going to close early on Christmas Eve, though, just like Disneyland still does.
So, so Shanghai's opening. Big news.
That's very exciting.
So that
happened in the middle of a junket, by the way. Like, I really would appreciate if the Walt Disney Company would coordinate.
They need a master calendar.
Yeah, right. Because, like, don't make an announcement for parks in the middle of a big press event for studios. Like, it would just be nice.
They don't care about you.
So with
or should they?
But they wanted to. They wanted to announce it at the finest hour.
The Ba-ba-ba-do.
Oh, I forgot about that. So, Shanghai Disneyland opening kind of closes out an era of major construction.
Right.
A new one is just now beginning with Star Wars Land. There's a couple of things going on, like Avatar Land. That's well underway. Rivers of Light doesn't count. But Star Wars Land in two different parks, Toy Story Land, just getting underway. Shanghai is done. It's kind of a time of transition.
Yeah.
And so Disney has taken the opportunity to transition the role of head of Walt Disney Imagineering by saying
farewell to
out, wife in.
Yeah. Farewell.
So what was Vaughn's? I can't remember Vaughn's first name.
Bruce.
Bruce Vaughn, that's right. The guy who's in all the Travel Channel specials with the unbuttoned shirt and the cowboy boots is out, and the guy with the Albert Einstein hair is in. So, fanboy.
Yeah, one is a little bit more photogenic than the other.
Alex, what does this mean for the future of Universal Studios?
he's working not, so I don't know.
Well,
what's
so here's the deal. It's always fun when you see someone who was a frontline cast member become an executive. I mean, that's just one of those things where, as a Disney fan, you kind of think, oh, that's cool, you know, because we all love the story of Tony Baxter, the ice cream scooper, you know, over at WDI. And now Bob Weiss was ODV back in the days when the America on Parade was at
ODV
Disneyland.
Equals outdoor vending.
And he remembers watching Space Mountain go vertical, you know, back then, and, you know, that kind of thing. And so...
That 41st anniversary.
So, you know, it's just really fun to think that someone who, you know, kind of as a young person was in the trenches is now going to be somebody who is involved in, you know, the more upper level element of creation at the park. And that's exciting. And then his wife is very successful in the entertainment industry herself. And she actually was she a producer?
She produced the very first
I'm Going to Disney World commercial.
Oh, wow.
Philip Sims.
Yeah. And so just their kind of, what would you call it? Their Disney company resume. Yeah. I mean, that's neat. I mean, those are people who you feel like, well, they get it as far as what Disney can mean to people. So it'll be fun to see where that goes. I don't know either. I don't know him. You know, I haven't worked with him. But so we'll see.
What's he known for? What are his big projects?
His two major projects since he's come back is...
he gets a lot of credit for the DCA remodeling.
Right. It would be the Shanghai and the DCA rejuvenation.
Rebirth.
Before
and
he was
credited with the original MGM Studios development.
Both attractions?
Yeah, exactly. Development. So,
and was she a producer on that Bette Midler short?
I've seen her.
Her credits include The Lottery.
So, well, what's really fun is that he also did some of the, back when they had that production house at the studios, he also did some, like, behind the camera, I don't think like videographer, but I mean, like, you know, producer kind of credit with the ideas group there at the studio. So, you know, it's just fun to see that the breadth of their of his Disney experience.
So is the sense that Bruce Vaughn has decided he wants to spend more time with his family, or Bruce Vaughn left voluntarily?
I haven't seen anything.
I mean, he's, you know, he's moving on to other projects, although he's sticking around for the transition.
Okay.
It'll be a long time before we know the
rest
of the story. But
Paul Harvey.
Good day. Bob has been making a lot of moves. Chapek. There's too many Bobs.
Iger, Weiss,
Fusion.
Chapek. And what's his role? For those who aren't,
He's the chairman of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts.
Yes,
and I find the dynamic interesting.
Would you wait before you go on? Would you describe him as somebody who seems to have been brought in to be a bit of a slasher? You bring in people for times and company evolution.
I don't know.
Okay,
because and I'll get to that.
Okay,
I just want to mention he's relatively new. He took over after Stack was promoted,
right? But he's been with Disney for 20 years,
right? Yeah.
So, I mean. It's not like they found an efficiency expert and brought somebody in.
Was he the head of the Disney stores?
He rose to the ranks at Home Entertainment and kind of built it into something huge, and then within the past 10 years like has slashed it to bits into almost nothing.
Yeah.
So he's a friend of yours.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically
he's
worked at the studios, consumer products,
yeah.
And Parks and Resorts. So it's hard, you know, he comes in, if you saw him at the D23 Expo, you didn't come across like this is a guy that has a true, his vision has not yet been executed.
Gotcha.
Because he comes in with all of these projects, obviously Shanghai, Avatar Land, Star Wars Land, these were all in the hopper before, when Tom Staggs was head of Parks and Resorts.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Staggs gets promoted, technically Bob, you know, is under him. Bob Chapek is under him,
yes.
Or beside him, or whatever. I mean, so you wouldn't think that he's there to undo Tom's vision. You know, mm-hmm. He's not brought in for a brand new direction. They promoted Tom, then they needed to fill the spot.
Gotcha.
He was named head of consumer products when Ike from Marvel, who is notoriously thrifty, was not pleased with Andy Mooney, who was head of consumer products prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't come. You would think he's not exactly a spend now kind of guy, but you know, who knows, right?
Right.
I mean, he obviously spent a lot of money at Witchy and
Walt Disney Studios Home Entertainment.
Witchy.
So you just don't know. Since he's come aboard, a lot of people have left Disneyland. John Storbeck, who was at Disneyland for whatever, was vice president of Disneyland for a while, retired, you know, young, so.
Right.
Right.
And boy did air quotes as he said retired.
Right.
listening and not watching.
Don't worry, you can't watch.
Yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't do that to you.
No. You don't want to.
Like three former ambassadors have left Disney World. So you just think that there's this belt tightening. Also, I'm hearing scuttlebutt.
The lumberjacks were gone too.
Of layoffs.
Oh.
Or I should say at least a reorganization.
Gotcha.
And in the theme park and operations. Mm-hmm. Obviously WDI is already reorganized.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can see him moving the chess pieces around, but until we really see the product, it's really hard to tell. Because Tom Staggs and even Bob Iger, well, you know, you always heard of the stories of dream bigger, dream bigger. This isn't big enough. You need to redo it. You know, World of Color, Star Wars projects. Bob, I'm not hearing that so much, and I really am wondering.
Dream cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, efficient, I guess.
Maybe.
You know, and
there's been an ebb and flow. I mean, as a Disney fan, we've seen it, and it's not always been for the bad. I mean, the way people want, the way that it sometimes is characterized. I mean, in order for a company to survive, you know, there's going to be an ebb and flow to the way that you spend, because there's an ebb and flow to the way just the economy
is. Yeah, there better
be.
You're going to run up for Christmas.
But what I don't know is, obviously, Shanghai's coming online. Once that's online, obviously, you know, an Avatar closely behind it.
Yeah.
You'll still have the Star Wars Land, Toy Story Land costs. But they'll be quickly looking to invest in growth in parks and resorts. And I don't know where they expect that to.
Cruise ship number 5.
Maybe. But until you really get more information about what's his first big project, I don't know that we can really tell what kind of guy this is.
Next gen version 2?
Yeah, I mean,
it'll be interesting to see what his take is. I mean, that's what I'm mostly interested in as a consumer, is how will he embrace or step away from technology? In what ways will he embrace it? In what ways? I mean, for example, Epcot clearly embraced the projection and screen, you know, that was kind of popular at the time that Epcot, you know, so many of those attractions are screen based, and that in part was because that kind of technology was, you know, woo, you know, it's not just for movies anymore, you know, kind of thing. And now with our own, you know, devices becoming kind of a little entertainment system, and just the way our consumption of entertainment is transitioning, I will be very curious to see how WDI decides to address that within your theme park experience. Mm-hmm. Will their experience with next gen, with My Magic Plus, the My Magic experience, will that further you to interact with your phone when you're on vacation, or are they seeing that, you know, maybe that isn't where people want to,
actually,
you
as
know,
I try and change
thing,
my fast passes or check wait times, my battery goes to from full to nothing, and so I can't interact with my phone. I'm forced to look at the world around me now.
So
oh, that's just terrible.
And we've talked about it before, that the trend in the industry, not just in Disney but at Universal and I think beyond, is these themed worlds,
stepping
right
into the world, right, of,
and so that's not cheap.
Nope.
Speaking of which, we recently went to Universal Hollywood, and their version of the Simpsons Land is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more compact than it is in Orlando, but because of that, you feel like you're walled in by Simpsons rather than looking across the river at Harry Potter. And then their nuclear power plant goes off every 5 minutes,
oh,
and like there's so much interactive fun stuff.
That's really
in
fun.
The land.
Nothing more fun than a nuclear power plant going on.
Yeah, and we ate at Cletus's Chicken Shack, and like in there too, there's all these like interactive things that just happen around you. You don't make them happen, but just as you're sitting there eating your chicken and waffle sandwich, it goes off.
But those are, a gamble, because those are, like Fanboy was saying, that's a high economic investment.
Huge.
And like Avatar.
Yeah.
Will Avatar prove to be a bomb, engaging property? But I mean, sometimes the experience can be better than the property.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter.
So, as long as it improves, you
would be a good example of that. You have no affinity for Harry Potter, yet you adore going to Harry Potter Land. And quite frankly, you can't ride their keynote attractions.
I choose not to, because I don't fit.
So it's not like, but it's not like you're, oh, hey, let me go, you know, ride.
No,
let me go.
I can ride Gryffindor. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The Hippogriff.
Sorry.
Hippogriff,
yes.
Challenge.
You can ride the Hippogriff ride. The Flight of the Hippogriff.
Also known as Gadget's Go Coaster.
Yes, you can ride that, but neither the Forbidden Kingdom
nor the
did you even bother? I don't think you bothered to even look at the other one. I think
Escape from Gringotts.
No, the Gringotts. I don't think. I think you opted to just stay with the little one.
Right, I opted not to embarrass myself.
so yeah, but yet you still love going to Potterland.
I love Potterland.
To just be immersed in the world.
Just to be there is to be happy.
So it'll be interesting to see if there's some new world that Disney wants to
maybe
immerse
Star Wars
us in.
One.
Well, no, they've already announced they're immersing us in Star Wars lands.
Yeah,
Potterland surpasses Cars Land does not immerse me. I don't know why. It's beautiful.
Because it's... Well,
but I'm not inside of the Cars Land.
Because you are not a car.
That may be why.
Yeah.
Although I am not a wizard either.
Well, but this
yeah, but you're
is,
at
but
least
still
a humanoid. Human-sized
you're a humanoid
person walking through the land.
I am a mogul.
Rather than
you are not a fantasy-oriented individual. You enjoy reality-based entertainment.
I am.
And so the but no, but I mean, that's why that you like the fantasy element is cool, but it's still a person you're looking at.
And to that point, I do enjoy being in Cars Land more than I enjoy watching either of the Cars films.
Yeah.
But with Avatar Land, I'm pretty convinced that as long as it improves the quality of your day at Animal Kingdom, it'll be a success. It doesn't matter if people are going specifically for Avatar, but it's just more stuff to do. And as long as it's enjoyable, to me, they've done their job.
My query about it is that Animal Kingdom feels so real. And so,
except for the mythical section they never built.
Well, but no, but that's what this is. This is the mythical section.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if it'll be and if it'll work. Like, just will it feel non sequitur or will it work? I mean, that's how, honestly, to be honest, that's how I feel a little bit about Star Wars Land, is because of the way the rest of the park is. Will Star Wars Land feel like, well, what park is this? I mean, because quite frankly, that's how. Harry Potter kind of feels
yeah.
at Islands of Adventure. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I'm in a theme park. Oh, I'm in a theme park. Oh, I'm in
All
Harry
All of these
Potter
are
land.
Islands except this one.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Which is somewhere in the Highlands of Scotland.
By the, and that doesn't
Unless
ruin.
Unless you go on the queue, then you're in Jurassic Park.
And that doesn't ruin my experience.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's not as seamless a transition as
almost,
like Adventureland to Frontierland.
To me, that's almost
Critter
a
Country.
Plus because it makes it seem even more. Its own entity. It's like,
perhaps.
I'm in Disneyland, you know, Fantasyland, I'm clearly in Disneyland, Tomorrowland, I'm clearly in Disneyland. Whoa.
I'm in Star Wars.
I am in Star Wars now.
Yeah. That's, no, it could be.
Well, it's the irony is that's what people said they loved about the river, right? I mean, and they're going to great lengths through reports and information we may have to ensure that Star Wars... To ensure Star Wars Land is
no, I'm just saying it's just funny.
To ensure Star Wars Land is contained,
yeah,
that it
no,
is,
yes,
you know,
that,
when you're in Star Wars Land, and except for if you're looking through the Mickey and Friends parking structure, you won't feel like you're in the rest of Disneyland.
I understand.
From there, you're like, what is that huge building doing over there? But from Disneyland, it should be like there's just trees and. Mm-hmm. An oasis that goes
and your through. Experience might just be waiting in queue through Frontierland to get into Star Wars.
That'll be so interesting. I can't wait for this to happen and to see what the response is.
Yeah.
Is anyone
more excited about that than I am the actual experience?
Is anyone offended?
Just all the time.
The crux of Avatar Land is these other creatures. No, excuse me. The crux of Avatar, the film, is these other creatures are not savages. They're not subhuman. They are just a different species. And they're featuring them in Animal Kingdom.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm not...
Come see. What are they called?
No,
the
Na'vi. Right. I'm not... The reason...
see the tigers and now see the Na'vi.
Exactly. I think it's less
right.
about the
Na'vi. I think it's about the other animals
yeah.
in Avatar.
Because in Avatar, I mean, humans...
You're awful.
Humans
I
aren't...
Thought of
I mean, in the movie, humans aren't walking around with the
exactly.
the Na'vi.
We have some Na'vi to show you. They are happy. Just don't look at the bars in the...
Concept-wise, I think you're supposed to be...
I realize, not that one.
I think you're supposed to be the Na'vi when you're there. And so the animals highlighted are the big, like, six-footed dragon
yeah.
things and the bioluminescent
awesome.
Plants and things like that. So it's more about exploring...
It would be your host.
It's more about exploring the nature of Pandora
okay.
rather
They'll be
than
your host,
Earth.
Not the exhibit.
Okay. I feel a little bit better for those.
But if you do go to... So it used to be that the only place to really find Pocahontas in the parks was Rafiki's Animal Planet. Now Tarzan is there. So we've got Native Americans and Ape Men. For you to meet and greet if you go take the Wildlife Express.
No, he was over at the tree when I was there.
To keep them
He's or at least pictures on Facebook from some friends of mine recently, he was in the Rafiki's Planet Watch.
He was walking
some tree
by
work
the tree
happening right now.
So he's been displaced.
Some branches.
Well, I think
that would be
Rivers of Light might have a little bit more to do with it.
No.
Securing branches is important too.
Yeah,
well, we know that.
I think that was done already.
But the pictures coming out thus far of Avatar Land. Those floating rocks are quite stunning.
That's going
to
be fun.
How they've been able to, without, I mean, they're nowhere near done.
Right,
how
no.
How they've been able to achieve that floating effect is really pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And it's not even dressed.
And if you'd like to see those pictures, go to the DisneyBlog.com because we don't have any. And I'm not bitter.
Well, the only thing I'm bitter about is that I don't have any personal images of that elephant being airlifted out of the Jungle Cruise. Did you guys see that all over Facebook about
real
a week
one?
Ago?
No, I didn't see it.
No, not a real one, weirdo. The one of the African elephants was being lifted out of the Jungle Cruise. Yeah, I wasn't paying enough attention to tell you which one, but so on my Facebook there
Was the ride going at that time? Because I would have loved to have heard the skipper's improv jokes.
I would doubt it.
What's funny is if you go to the refurbishment schedule for Disneyland right now, because it was most recently Jingle Cruise, then it closed. It says Jingle Cruise. So, yeah.
Oh, it was under for refurbishment.
So the Jingle Cruise is closing.
What's funny
wait, does this mean there's no Jingle Cruise next year?
No, they'll be back in Jingle Cruise when Jingle Time is ready.
So this has nothing to do with Star Wars construction.
No, this has nothing to do with Star Wars.
Although
it's funny.
How big do you think Star Wars Land is going to be?
I thought it was going to like extend from Toontown all the way to
They're not demolishing Tilly's. The rivers of America.
I was relieved to hear that when this is all over, the Pirate Slayer is coming back.
Right. So I'm going to Disneyland this weekend with my parents because my mom really wants to see the Diamond Celebration stuff. Those ads work, apparently.
Forever young.
I'm glad she didn't completely miss it because they haven't even had the special yet.
Touche.
So, I still haven't seen the stuff on Main Street.
So they... It's a Small World Holiday still happening while we're there. I feel like it's a little anticlimactic.
Holiday's kind of over.
I'm planning for my President's Day party, and I'm going on it.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, except that, you know, I told my mom, wait, you know, this thing's going through September. Let's be patient. And so we're like, okay, we'll go the weekend after Martin Luther King Day. Not, you know, it's not a holiday weekend, whatever. Yeah, World of Color's closed for refurbishment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry.
Because she's never seen any version of it.
Oh, that's too bad.
She ain't missing nothing.
It's lovely. You're just boring.
I am boring, but it's not that lovely.
When you're in the minority opinion on that, you just need to accept that you're wrong and move on.
Honey, my life is a minority opinion. Droid, please. So... Amongst all the other closures that have been occurring recently, came this one out of nowhere, which just devastated me to no end. At Epcot, Habit Heroes, with no fanfare whatsoever, just shut its doors.
Really?
I didn't get a chance to say goodbye.
I experienced it 1.5 times. The first time was a half time because after the first experience, when they loaded us into the next room, the thing just stopped working.
Aww.
And at that moment, I felt like an Imagineer was coming around the corner and being like, shut it down, shut it down. When I did finally get to complete it, I questioned my existence and why I had spent 20 minutes on this thing.
Was this before or after the...
I only experienced it after the controversy. I could totally
right,
then
it was
see, though.
Right?
Yeah,
it was fat shaming.
Fat shaming.
Okay.
Before it was called fat shaming.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just want to be sure.
But I could totally see how that was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just weird.
Aren't you glad, though? Because we did it the halftime.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I need to experience this whole thing once. And so he's like, no, we already did it at halftime. Aren't you glad now that you fully experienced it, now knowing that, you know, it's not
gone
forever.
Future generations will not.
Now is the time.
Can I just say no? I could have lived quite happily having done it the halftime.
But would you have known how to make healthy habits?
I now know how to make healthy habits, and I still don't make healthy habits. So it didn't do much for me. I really miss that waste management thing. To me, that's the best thing.
I like the piggy bank one.
And the Great Piggy Bank adventure was amazing,
too. Bank.
Is Interventions just slowly closing down?
Well,
I think half
of it is. Interventions West is closed, right?
Wouldn't it be really funny if they bring back Communicore on that side?
What are they doing with IW?
Nothing. It's just empty.
Yeah.
I think the only thing there is the Visa meet and greet.
Don't people just anticipate that Epcot will be getting some sort of influx of money and transition that opening?
Well, we did, but now who knows what?
Oh, good point.
Maybe that's going to be Paycheck's legacy, is what he does to Epcot.
That would be interesting. Why are you calling him Paycheck?
That's not his name.
J-Pack.
Oh, you're just swapped the consonants. Yeah. Oh, that's hysterical.
He dyslexically.
No, I know. That's why I was trying to figure out what you were doing. Yes, J-Pack. That would be cool.
This is kind of exciting to me, though, right? Like, this is the beginning of the end of, you know, so whoever replaces Bob, could be Tom, could be somebody else.
Right.
We're going to have all sorts of moving and shaking. You know, we've been pretty consistent for a while with you know, Bob at DCP, Alan Horn at the studios.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got to be close to retiring.
Oh, true.
And, you know, it was Tom at Parks and Resorts. And, you know, now group Tom and Jay together is kind of like a dynasty.
Yeah.
So it's – we're starting to see – movement of the company to be whatever it's going to be after Bob, you know, with only one NFL team, to...
Oh, he lost.
To see what that's going to be. I mean, having been so excited to see what Bob did to Disney...
Yes.
I'm kind of excited, assuming they don't screw up, to see what the next guy is going to do.
Because right.
He's going to pivot it a little bit and hopefully go...
He's going to live by what would Bob do.
Great. Because Bob's Wells done.
Bob
what?
No, not Bob Wells.
What did you say?
Bob's well is done. I mean, he's what else is he going to buy?
Oh, I thought you said Bob's will is done.
I heard that. Thy will be done. You know, like I was just waiting for the rest
of
it.
I'm not sure how you
No. That's funny. Aw, Carson.
I need to mention Interventions East is still open, right? Because mm-hmm. Stormstruck is still there. Go Stormstruck. That's for my son.
Bob apparently has this like private handwritten list of things he wishes he could own.
This is JPEG?
No, Bob Iger.
Use last names when you're talking about Bob.
Yes, please. Come
on. Bob Thomas has...
Oh, man.
Like, sure. Wouldn't you love to know what Bob wishes he could acquire?
An A380?
No.
Oh, you mean for the company?
Yeah.
Not private.
No, I mean...
Universal?
Yeah, I wonder what else is on his, like, unrequited love list.
Is it laminated, like in Friends?
Willow
said, Willow can see if this is available, Willow.
If we had time and musical talent, I would do a Bob Iger version of If I Had $1 Million, the song. Like, if I had $1 million,
I'd buy me a Lucasfilm.
$1 trillion.
Are you talking about the company? Buy, acquire for the company? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Not personally.
I'm curious.
No,
was Kratom on that list?
Apparently, it was. Not saying all the list are gold.
Let me see. What is out there that you can do? What kind of stuff is out there that hasn't been done by them yet?
I don't know.
That's Star Trek. They've got Star Wars. Might as well just own the monopoly.
They can buy DC.
Yeah, but I just don't see. It's not
Barbie.
Attainable.
Mattel. Buy Mattel.
No.
Or Hasbro.
Well, Hasbro. Hasbro I could see.
Mm. Hasbro I could see as well.
Yahoo's up. Yahoo content.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that Go went well.
They still use it. Every single website.
I know. That only so you can't track their rankings through Alexa because it's all through Go.
But Go is huge. So I feel like, I think people have a pretty good handle.
Because I think Iger himself wants to own an NFL team. I think that'll be like the first thing you see after he's gone as CEO. Because right now I don't think he could with ESPN.
Isn't that why he part of this thing with him helping up the Carson thing was he would be able to get a piece of the Chargers?
You know
something?
What I want to see happen?
Which caught some flack publicly because, I mean, ESPN and Bob Iger, that starts to get a little tricky.
So what I want to see...
But you can't go up against Jerry Jones.
Wall.
Jerry Jones won that fight.
Yeah.
I want to see when Bob Iger retires, he just starts, like, investing in things and becomes a shark on Shark Tank.
Oh, that'd be
like,
fun.
He started on ABC, he ends on ABC.
That would be cool. They should get Stanley Gold on there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Michael. The ratings. Michael Eisner, Stanley Gold, and Bob Iger are the sharks, along with Mr. Wonderful.
How How could you tell the difference between Eisner and Mr. Wonderful?
Yeah. Ooh. Oh. I wonder. They should get Eisner to do Shark Tank.
That would be fun.
So
that
cool.
would be fun.
He is a former CEO.
You welcomed him into your homes every Sunday night.
You should totally tweet death to Cuban. Hey, Cuban!
Can you make it happen? He's on Twitter.
Yeah.
The Muppets, I'm out.
That'd be funny.
So,
oh, man.
We have a really good handle on what's... Oh, I think people know what's happening in Disneyland in terms... There's no... As far as we know, there's no... Permanent closures are Big Thunder, Barbecue, and the Petting Zoo.
Okay, wait. You need to re-speak that.
At Disneyland,
right.
The permanent closures are the ranch.
Yes.
And everything up there.
The ranch and
the
that's
Petting
it,
Zoo,
basically.
The restaurant that's there.
Right.
Yes.
The Festival of Fools Arena.
Right.
Yes.
Which has been closed for some time.
The horseshoe horns, whatever.
Although, do we talk about that concept art? Like the day after it closed.
That was perhaps the smartest thing Disney's ever done. Mm-hmm. Was the there's all the flack, people watching goats run. By the way, the picture of seeing those goats run, where it's just a bunch of people holding up their cameras. Most hilarious thing though.
It was pretty awesome.
The morning after, the Parks blog releases the concept art for what they're doing over there, and I swear, 80% of
everybody who was ramped
momentum
up,
just deflated when they saw how cool this area looked.
Yeah.
And my favorite though was people be like, "Well, sometimes concept art doesn't look," and then they show the concept art and the actual thing, and you go. Looks like it to me.
I don't know. I mean, in Beauty and the Beast Kingdom, Gaston was holding a rifle in the concept art, but in the real thing, he's holding like a barrel of beer.
You're not doing the right voice for that. You have a voice for that.
No. Let's not.
But in the Beauty and the Beast concept art, Gaston was holding a rifle, but in reality, he's holding a barrel of what we can only presume is either
children.
Beer or the food brew.
Let's move on. Ay, ay, ay.
I would just like to say that the Gaston statue is not canon. Thank you.
Popcorn or churro?
Yes.
Original River or Earful Tower?
Earful Tower.
Earful Tower rocks.
What's the popcorn or churro?
Which would you say?
Which do you miss more?
If you could only choose one.
So,
it's Lorenzo's oil.
Earful Tower, I get... With the Earful Tower, I do get the argument that you can't see it from the park anymore.
Yeah, fine.
But when you're coming in on World Drive,
yes,
which I know that everyone does,
exactly,
it's such a welcoming visual.
I'm sad.
And for me,
okay.
I mean, I grew up with the Earful Tower being the park's icon. You know, it wasn't the great movie ride, the Chinese Theater, even though that's the weenie down Hollywood Boulevard.
Because that's where the prostitutes hang out.
But, right. But
are we talking about prostitutes and weenies in the same sentence? This is not going well.
We've hit a new low. You know, I don't know. The Earful Tower to me was just like, that was what was in my mind. And it still is whenever I think Disney MGM Studios. The Earful Tower is the first thing that pops into my head.
The MGM doesn't exist.
Well, I mean, I just remember because, do you remember the old Wonderful World of Disney opening where it goes through the castle and Mickey's on top of Spaceship Earth and he puts the ears on the Earful Tower?
Yes.
Life goes on because there's no DAC. Mm-hmm. And...
Three parks, one world.
Right, it was the icon. So it's sad to see. It's as far as I can tell, it is the only icon of a park that has ever been replaced.
Yeah, I mean it switched. I mean it was they went with the hat. Once the hat was there, that became, you know, when they would do the four icons, it was the hat, not the Earful Tower anymore. But just seems weird. Like, my understanding is the reason that they're getting rid of it is because it is a visual disturbance on Toy Story Land. Is that true? Is that everyone's understanding?
I don't know if it's true, but it is a visual intrusion in Toy Story Land, so it will be. I can imagine that's the answer. The park is also... We don't know what the park is going to be itself, right?
Right,
we know the name's changing.
Well, I wonder if it isn't like an infrastructure thing, because the water tower was a functioning water tower, but my understanding is it serviced... It wasn't?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, let me put it this way. I've never known it to be a functioning water tower.
I don't know. From my childhood, I remember on Great Movie Ride them saying it's a real water tower that services the studio portion, like the actual, when they had studio facilities.
Oh, that sounds like
a nice story. Yeah.
Maybe.
The one in Burbank was at a time, but I don't think you need water towers anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's real. I also don't think it's a good idea in Central Florida to have that much weight up top, that high.
Yeah.
But what's weird is if you look at the icon they're using now, Tower of Terror.
Yeah, and they've been kind of shifting to that for a while anyway, at least like on DisneyWorld.com when it became the My Disney Experience, the you know, each of the parks, when you say that you're going to those parks for the day, it has that weird little image at the top of your schedule. For Hollywood Studios, it was that front and center and then some other things off to the side. But I was drinking out of my Hollywood Studios Starbucks Places cup this morning, and they're going to have to redo the cup because it's got the Eiffel Tower as the main point of attraction.
Oh. It'll be interesting. I'm hopeful that the construction will bring us a new icon.
I just wanted to briefly... So we did learn, in addition to the Eiffel Tower, some other attractions were going to be closing permanently.
LMAX.
Soon at Walt Disney World. At Hollywood Studios, we should mention what those are. They are the Eiffel Tower, LMAX, Lights, Motors, Action.
The Honey, I Shrunk the Playground.
Aww.
Honey, I Shrunk the Playground.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Such memories of that.
Set. What else? Was one more, I feel like.
The Monsters, Inc. Meet and Greet.
And, Mike and Sully. Yeah.
Well, in the Streets of America.
So, do we figure the Streets of America? Or yeah, did they announce the Streets of America? Or are we just presuming?
Thank you. They actually haven't... Yeah, the Frozen thing.
It moved.
No, they moved to... It's at the Doug Live Theater.
Oh, that's right. Have they... did they even confirm these other closures yet? Because they announced LMAX was closing. And then... A bunch of websites said the Eiffel Tower was closing.
They've not confirmed the Eiffel Tower, but they have confirmed
the other attractions stuff.
The Streets of America will be closed.
We broke that.
Great.
It's not often we break Disney World news.
Touche.
That's cool.
Yeah, I feel like I grew up on the Honey I Shrunk the Kids playground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ironic.
I remember because I would go back all the time, and I remember when I started to feel too big for things, and I was like, "Oh my goodness, I've outgrown this."
What's going on, mother?
But my favorite part of it was the cage, like because you used to have to wait to get in, like they would capacity close it, and you'd have to wait a little bit to get for your turn, and they had this cage of props from both. This was before there was a third, both Honey, I Shrunk the whatever movies. And they had the ice cream bar from the top of the ice cream truck from Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, the one that had the bite taken out of it. And I was really into that because that was one of my favorite moments.
Do you think Muppets will stay? Because they announced Pizza Planet's closing for a considerable amount of
time. I think Pizza Planet is closing to retheme it to not Toy Story now that you've got Toy Story Land on the other side of the park.
And hopefully expand the kitchen because that restaurant's in desperate need of increased capacity.
Yeah, and I think people are not very welcoming to the fact that when you go inside, you have to pay extra money for those because they've removed the arcades from everywhere else.
It must not have an arcade anymore.
And this might be part of it because isn't there some new weird Florida law where they like kind of have to remove the arcades from all of Disney property?
Yeah, they have their online.
Yeah,
some gambling thing
and arcades fall into that because Florida's law is stupid.
They don't have scripts at Pizza Planet, do they? Isn't it just regular arcade games?
It's regular arcade games, Disney World is just removing all of the arcades.
Right, I can't think
of none of the resorts are going to have them.
Yeah,
by the time they're done. And
someone on the Disney Parks blog asked specifically about Muppets, as I recall, to which the response was, "We have no announcement to make about Muppets at this time," which makes me feel like it's safe for decades to come.
I think it's safe for a little while.
Really,
just because when I. What can I say? I don't know what I can say.
Okay, but you feel safe.
I feel like Muppets is safe.
Okay.
All right.
I wonder. I'll be interested to see.
The only thing out of all of these Disneyland and
I'd like to see it refreshed.
Is Lights, Motors, Action.
Be nice if they refreshed it.
I was never very big into Lights, Motors, Action.
I can't even tell you how many times
it's
I saw it.
It's a great show.
I remember waiting like a heck of a long time to see it the very first time and being like, meh.
I remember like when it first started, it was like 3.5 hours because
oh,
they
man,
quite...
they had such bad pacing when it first started. Woo!
It's a great...
It was a long show.
It was Paris's gift to Disney World for Disneyland's
you know
50th
should,
anniversary.
You know what they should do
you
with
can't
it.
Give
it's
it back.
Better than Cinderella Bration.
They should send it to Shanghai
the Princess Royal
and call it, first
Nation
of all,
today.
China is no stranger to copyright infringement. Just send it to Shanghai and call it the Fast and the Furious.
It's true.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's so funny.
Here's the thing I feel bad for Lights, Murders, Action. When an ordinary attraction closes, you know, the operators go on and do something else. Yeah. The show closes. Yeah. They just mm-hmm. go do another show. Those are folks with a specific skill, presumably.
Not that one?
No, not her. But those drivers, presumably, have a specific skill that I'm sure Disney would find another job for him, but it won't be the same as being a stunt driver.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, most of them probably had to.
You know,
most of them probably had to relocate to Orlando for the show to even
I'm
be
sure
built.
These people are going to go on and be. I mean, I suspect most of them.
So how smart would it be to about now hear Universal's planning a stunt driving show up the road?
Oh, a Fast and the Furious!
Because they've got a team of drivers already prepared down south.
Probably buy the cars cheap.
They should trade.
Yeah.
Give them that. They get Disney gets Marvel. Everyone's happy.
There you go.
You should tell someone that.
Yes. That should happen.
Make
that happen.
We should dress up like Tonto from Disney's The Lone Ranger and go over there and be like, Nick, trade.
And everyone will go, who are you? Was that a movie?
Make that happen, fanboy.
Disney used to make a big bomb every year.
Marvel and Disney theme parks for Fast and the Furious cast.
We should.
That sounds fair.
I have a quick question. Did Disney make a movie called The Alamo?
Oh, yeah.
Dear.
That happened, right?
That did. Oh, Touchstone.
Wow.
So you're basically saying you don't remember the Alamo.
Wow.
That was early in our website's existence.
Not too early. 2005, what? Right?
No.
It wasn't 2005, but I think it was between, it was like the early 2000s.
Wow.
We must know now.
Because I remember Touchstone had this DVD line.
I just remember. I remember that was one of our early coverage ideas.
2004.
Okay.
See, you were way off.
Yeah. Jeez. I remember Touchstone had this like DVD. They tried to do like a premiere DVD collection.
Oh, the Vista series.
The Vista series. That's right. And this was like the one of three titles that actually ended up with a Vista series release out of all the other ones they announced. That's right. I forgot about that. Unbreakable was the, I think, the one title that I owned in it.
Jupy plugged the computer into the raw one end of the plug, but the other end of the plug is not hooked into power. And he's wondering why the computer is beeping at him for more power.
More power, Captain.
Max power.
That's awesome.
He's the man.
What else is happening in the world of Disney? Freeform finally appeared.
Oh, yeah. Freeform.
No more promotions.
Freeform. You say no
free
more promotions, but on my most recent movie experience, there was a promotion for Freeform.
Oh, you know what? I just saw a tweet today. Somebody said, can you please stop? We get it. It's Freeform.
Dude, what a terrible name.
You don't know how many
times
I've had to remove from a press release. ABC Family is becoming Freeform January 2016. Because I was like, we get it. It's Freeform.
Freeform.
I hate the name. I hate the logo. I hate the color scheme.
Oh, I had to review Shadowhunters.
That logo is weird.
That logo is bizarre.
Think? Oh, ooh. Never mind. Oh, it had an ugly face.
It was like I remember.
And I like
No, you're not a
sci-fi fantasy kind of stuff. No.
I remember when I was watching it with him. I felt like had I been 13 now, I probably would have felt the same way about it as I did about Buffy the Vampire Slayer back when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I still look back on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. What was everyone thinking, including myself?
Okay.
But this is weird. It's weirder.
They did ABC Family did a series called The Nine Lives of Chloe King.
Yes.
And it's similar in that there's a girl who turns 18, 16, whatever, and finds out that she has superpowers, essentially. And, you know, then she has her normal friends or kind of like her connection to the teen drama side of how do you deal with this and whatnot. And then there's a supernatural, you know, and she finds a boy who's trying to induct her into the whatever.
This is all Buffy the Vampire
right.
Slayer.
And so, I felt that was executed far superior. And because they just tried too much. Because it's based on a book, which is a wildly successful book. And I feel like the book, when you're reading a book, you know, chapter after chapter, and it's one linear story, that's fine. But episodically, it doesn't really work. Because they try and throw all this exposition to you so fast, but without really explaining it because they can't. Mm. And so you just don't know what's – like, you don't know what the deal is. You don't know who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. Once you – like, I read the Wikipedia on it, and once I knew what was, like, where this was headed, I was like, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. But as a novice to this world,
right,
it didn't flow well.
I also didn't much care for the casting choices of really any of the characters. They all kind of came off as annoying.
I like the way Disney Rebels has brought in Princess Leia.
Star Wars Rebels.
Sorry, what did I say?
Disney Rebels.
Oh, man.
It's the Disney Rebels franchise featuring Princess Leia, Queen Amidala, Ahsoka Tano.
Did you see Stan Lee talking about the need for a Star Wars Marvel mashup?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun read. He was like, look, they own both. They belong in each other's universe. Why not? Mm-hmm. It's the kind of thing we do in the comic book world. I mean, this is how I envisioned it. I just saw the headline.
Yeah.
But that's how I envisioned a, how old is he now? A 90-year-old man.
92, I think.
Yeah, I envisioned him saying it like that. So that was cool. I enjoyed. So,
well, you know, when we had Barack Obama in Spider-Man episode or comic number.
So Star Wars Rebels had Princess Leia. That was cool. High School Musical, we talked about that. That was cool.
I enjoyed
Freaky Friday the Musical's coming.
Oh,
really?
OMG. I'm so excited.
Okay.
Sorry. Huge fan of.
Is that a
Disney thing?
Yeah,
it is.
It's one of those things where they're testing it out. So they're trying it out in Virginia.
Yeah.
Virginia.
And then.
We're talking Broadway or are we talking local?
They're saying, no, we're just going to mount it in Virginia and then San Diego and then. We'll license it.
This is what they said about
Newsies, which went to Broadway. It's also what they said about Hunchback, which didn't go to Broadway.
Right.
So, you know, obviously if it's hugely successful
they're not going to kiss away money.
But the music, the music's being done by the writers of If Then, the Idina Menzel show, and I really liked the songs from that.
Okay. Wow.
Let it go.
So I'm excited.
Let it go.
Not
that one.
That'll be very fun. What else is happening? Hunchback is coming up to the Sacramento area. So that's cool. Yes, I sent you guys an email letting you know advance tickets were on sale.
You know,
Thank you very much.
The show is such a downer, though. I don't know if I would ever go see it again.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah,
but to get yourself through it.
I am excited
for the soundtrack, though. Yeah.
You should go to Sacramento. I suspect we have friends in Sacramento who will go, and you can go with them and have a lovely time.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, if they're using the same. If they're using the same script, I don't need to see it again on stage.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. And then they've been released, and then they're preparing to release the soundtrack, and they've been leaking out track by track.
I pre-ordered it, and I get my track every week leading up to their release, which I think is now like next week.
So that'll be cool.
I'm enjoying the return of Galavant.
Yeah.
Oh, very much.
Last night's return of Agent Carter.
We didn't get to see Agent Carter yet.
Both whose ratings were not...
Oh, no. Agent Carter, even?
Yeah, no.
I expected it from Galavant. I expected Agent Carter to have a boost now that, like, they've... Because after the last season, they then had her in Ant-Man and The Winter Soldier, and so I expected more of a drive behind
her.
No
one cares.
Well, they killed off the pretty boy, which I'm sad.
Austria?
Who?
The blonde one. Didn't they kill him off at the end of the series?
The guy they killed off was not pretty. The chief?
No. I thought they killed
Chad Dylan Cooper's still on it.
Chad Michael
Murray. I thought they killed him off.
No, he's alive.
Okay. Well, good. But is he going to be
your
in Hollywood?
Your eye candy is... Yeah, he's there.
No, he's not. But there's a B... I don't want
to... You kind of expect that it might...
He's still listed as a regular cast member.
Okay,
I was only half paying
then.
Attention to the first episode because I had other stuff to do, but every time I glanced up, he was on.
Last week.
No, it couldn't because of our president's State of the Union address.
How was it?
The State of the Union is strong.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Did he actually say that?
Yes, he did.
I didn't.
I check every year.
I miss it.
Yeah, I believe it is. There might be an executive order. So.
I can't wait for like a joking... Well, maybe if we get Donald Trump, he'd be like, the State of the State Union is weak.
And that's as far as we're going to go into politics.
I do remember, like, you know, there was a time, I don't know if it was after 9/11 or if the stock market, but I was like, okay, if the State of the Union is not, like, this is the low point, one of the low points, but, you know, as though we're facing tough times, the State of the Union has never been stronger. Okay, it's all...
Sorry, just strong. Sorry to disappoint you.
I feel like the State of the Union, if you go to jumptheshark.com, if it still existed, and it said, when the state and you looked up State of the Union, the time they don't say the State of the Union is strong is when the series jumped the shark. It's like when they stopped killing Kennedy on South Park.
Yeah.
I want to bring up some quick hits from some of the bigger stories on our website recently. I think if they're bigger on our website, they're worth us discussing. New buttons coming to the Disney parks. Yeah. ESPN, there are new maps. ESPN will now have a female on Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah.
Tokyo Disney Resort stop of the metro train there now has Frozen weird music playing.
Oh, that's nice.
Metro.
And these are the biggest stories on our website. Disney will now have additional security officers. Instead of yellow shirts manning the metal detectors, they will be Disney cast members.
Really?
You know what they should do, though? They should let them wear the Phantasma costume, just now that it's being used.
Elena has a voice cast that has decided to come over to our website and say hello and thank us for putting up their press release.
Oh, that's nice. Genevieve of Disney Junior now does nightly live videos on her Facebook page. Oftentimes it's like a storybook, like... and she does giveaways all the time of stuff for young kids. It's really cute. But most recently, it was adorable. She went to Disneyland, and she was just having the time of her life and sharing those adventures. So if you have a young one who enjoys her on Disney Junior, you can, you know, get to know her better through her Facebook page.
You can also listen to another story that probably wasn't one of the top on those sites, is the Disney. There's now a Radio Disney Junior app, so you can listen to Genevieve goings whenever you want.
Yep.
And she retweeted us, so there we go.
She's lovely. I'm a big fan.
Phil Knight has joined the Disney Board of Directors?
No, I don't think you got that right.
The Nike CEO?
Yeah, but...
No longer Phil Knight?
No.
Okay.
What was his name, though? It's like Mark Spark or something. What's his...
Mark Spark.
While I find that out, a real news item, Cirque du Soleil has some act changes, the biggest change in the history of Disney.
Wow.
Mark...
Hey, here's a question for you guys. Do you think Paint the Night will stay here beyond the...
Yes.
Celebration.
Yes, I think Paint the Night's going to last at least 15 years.
No, I'm only asking because I saw, not of any note, but just somebody kind of, you know, throwing it out there. Hey, I hear it's going to Walt Disney World and Walt Disney World. And I'm like,
I could see that, but I don't think it's...
And I would be like, hmm.
I don't know what Disneyland
would Well, their theory, their whatever the rumbling was that they were sharing, and I don't remember if they cited a source
Make
in it.
Trade.
It was just a Facebook... It was like a... Facebook comment was that electrical parade would come, and I'm like, somehow I don't think the electrical parade would fare very well returning now.
Because especially since Paint the Night has the same
exactly.
sort of, but I think it'll at least last through this year because Phantasmic. Now when Phantasmic returns, I could see some shuffling.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see.
But
everybody, I'm shuffling.
Oh, that's painful.
Nikolai Tesla from Disney's
The Prestige.
The Prestige passed away at the age of 69.
David Bowie.
Very painful for me personally.
Me as
well.
I'm a David Bowie fan.
Yes, he was very mopey.
Have you listened to Black Star?
I have not listened to any of his recent albums, and probably won't.
Most of his other recent ones I wouldn't recommend, but this one musically feels like a return to form, but lyrically you can, like, he wrote it knowing
really
that he would be gone by the time this
I spent about half that next day listening to Bowie, and then I had to
Honest Trailer is also
intense for him.
Yeah, in honor of David Bowie, Honest Trailer finally did Labyrinth, and it is amazing.
Really?
Yes.
I've never seen that movie, actually.
What?
Yeah.
We must correct this.
Fanboy
can't stand it.
Pyramid's coming back with Michael Strahan.
Yeah, it is.
With Strahan? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'll watch that.
Is it, like, Disney produced? Because don't they own him?
not
well,
on Sundays.
No.
Oh,
yeah. You know, the 13th Amendment kind of
There's certain people that Disney see, like, Barbara Walters. Like
Tom Bergeron.
Tom Bergeron. Like, you would not expect to see them in any other company's productions.
Yeah.
They're just Disney.
Because it's going to be... They renewed Family Feud with Steve Harvey.
Okay.
And now they're adding
with
Pyramid.
With Steve Harvey? They're not going to redact that?
Yeah. Oh, you're right, it was.
Wait, I'm sorry. It says it on the paper right here.
The poor man.
He will never live that down.
Oh. Elton John performed at Disneyland for a 60th anniversary special to air around the 61st anniversary.
how fitting that he has a new album coming out, too.
That's going to be interesting.
Should we talk about the fact that they're moving the premiere of Rogue? No, Star Wars and...
Yeah, oh, yeah, we did want to talk about
what was the other
that.
One?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates.
So I just think this is hilarious.
Emma Stone in talks to portray Cruella de Vil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, one more. This may have been our top story of the month. A bizarre incident and arrest takes place in the Walt Disney World Hotel over a Hello Kitty toothbrush.
Yeah, we talked about that last podcast. Okay, we're done. We don't have to talk about it.
You never know when a gem of a story is just going to fall in your lap. So I remember people being very concerned that Star Wars The Force Awakens got delayed from a summer release to a Christmas release because they were concerned it wasn't going to be able to make enough money with more people still in school.
Yes.
Then the movie comes out. Awful. Yeah. Some might say it was slightly successful. And I do love the people that go to, like, change.org or whatever, and they're like, please petition Disney to make a sequel to Star Wars The Force Awakens.
I just love change.org. It's hilarious.
We bought Lucasfilm so we could make one movie. We're out.
Thank you and good night.
has change.org actually changed anything in the past 5 years?
Yes.
That brave thing.
Yes, there has. Okay. Yes, they have had influence.
Okay.
So then episode 8, they announced they're now moving to Christmas, December 15th, I believe. And
which I'm livid because now I have to wait like 4 more months.
Right. So, because it was going to be Rogue One in December and then this in May.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we were going to get a 6-month back-to-back.
But now it's just Disney's Christmas present to you every year.
Well, and so and we were joking because Ready Player One is set to be released that same day, which is like this big Steven Spielberg video game movie kind of thing. And so we were joking. Do you think Disney actually look at their release, like anyone's release schedule, to like make sure that they weren't crowding anything, or do you just think they said they'll move?
Side note, but that Steven Spielberg movie, is that based on a book?
Yes.
Which is written by that guy from that Atari documentary on Netflix?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which Atari documentary?
There's an awesome documentary. It's only like an hour long on Netflix. What's it called? If you just search
Game
Atari.
Over, I think
I think it's called Game Over, story of Atari. It's amazing. And it's about them like digging up the landfill.
Yeah.
And so this one guy in there that they're interviewing is this author of this book called Ready Player One. Which,
that's why I've heard of this.
And so now Steven Spielberg's adapting it into a movie. But like, this guy is so geeky that in the film, in the documentary, he goes to the guy who wrote Game of Thrones' house to borrow his DeLorean to drive to landfill. That. Yeah. It's an awesome documentary, though.
I love those kind of documentaries. You ever see the one on Press Your Luck Guy?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that was good.
That was an awesome documentary.
Best doc ever.
It was very, very good.
I wish that they would bring it back, but there was one called Life After Tomorrow about girls who played Annie on Broadway.
I've seen that. That was awesome. I saw that one.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
That was very great.
It was.
They even got Sarah Jessica Parker to be on it.
The sun will come out. That's all.
Yep.
So, you done talking Star Wars?
Oh, no, because
we started.
So the concern, I think, is gone that releasing it during Christmas might limit its box office appeal. Mm-hmm. And then they moved Pirates of the Caribbean
Or Caribbean.
No, when you say Pirates... No, no one says Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'm just joking.
Like, if I'm going on a Caribbean cruise,
I say Pirates of the Caribbean.
That is being moved to the May slot that was Star Wars. So what's going to happen is they have this cool deal. You see Pirates of the Caribbean, what's it called? Dead Men Tell No Tales. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, the credits end, they'll be able to start the next installment of Star Wars.
Oh.
Because it is a long movie.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it.
Although I do know the guy who wrote the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie, so I feel a little, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. His father used to own a school chain.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So...
Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Oh, that's good.
So way back in December 24th, in a chat with my box office obsessed brother, he texted me, Disney will move the date for episode 8, I think. It's currently only 2 weeks after Guardians.
It was 2 weeks after Guardians?
That's what I'm wondering.
No, it was maybe 3 weeks after Guardians.
Okay.
Asinine.
But now Pirates is there, so it's not. I mean, it's not like they got out of that conundrum.
But it was just.
Oh, yeah,
it was.
No one cares about Pirates. Yeah, no one's gonna. No one. Pirates, come on. This is a flop, right? First of all, you said you're gonna make me see it with you.
Yes.
You're gonna owe me big.
I believe last time I saw Pirates 3 on my own, and then you needed to go see it for whatever reason. And so I went with you, and I said you were going to owe me, and I still believe you still owe me.
Smart people.
No, that was a quarter of a movie, so that doesn't even count.
Yeah, but it was really, really bad.
Yeah, so currently, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 together. Comes out May 5th, and Pirates Dead Men Tell No Tales May 26th. Cars 3 is 3 weeks later at June 16th. And then nothing on the release schedule till November.
Disney puts out too many movies. There's no other Marvel that summer?
Not that summer. There's a Marvel that fall. Thor Ragnarok. That's not the Ultrons.
Ragnarok.
No, I mean Infinity War. Whatever.
No, that's that's the next year.
Okay. There's another movie coming out soon. Are you at liberty to speak about it yet?
No.
Not even a first impression?
No.
I say that you saw it?
Yes.
Alex saw The Finest Hours. He'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
There's also, I got to do something I'm not even allowed to talk about that I did it.
Oh, how funny. That's amazing.
Do I know?
No, he can't talk about it. No, Rebecca he can't knows, talk about it.
You might not know.
He can't Rebecca, talk about it. What?
How was Star Wars The Force Awakens the book?
I enjoyed the novelization. Contrary to the Amazon reviews, it actually does have a lot of sequences that are not on screen. And so I found that it filled in some of the plot holes, for lack of a better word, that you kind of had to fill in yourself.
Is there anything, I'm just curious, is there anything different than in the movie?
I wouldn't say...
Like, does Mama Odie go back with him to the planet or something?
Mama Odie?
The only, like, change, really, is that you have her... in a way kind of a little bit Yoda-esque in that she has that line that we see on screen that when she looks into the eyes she sees, you know, somebody who wants to run. And then after all that battle scene she encounters Finn again and she says, "Now when I look in your eyes I see the eyes of a warrior." And that's not a scene that's in the film, and that kind of helps you to gauge his transition as a character, which isn't quite as clear in the movie. I mean, it's obvious in the beginning of the movie that he has no stomach, per se, for war once he's faced with the reality of it, you know. But the kidnap of Rey clearly thrusts him into, you know, wanting to be her savior. And so, you know, it's just that kind of transition that you see in film. And like I say, the book does a better job with that. And I think the book also does a better job of helping you understand a little bit more where General Leia's mindset is. You understand a little bit more of why she...
In that case, it actually...
You get the... Yes, I was not using it just as a general term. There you go. And I found that useful. And then I found the film itself in theaters, I found it a bit challenging to sift out who was doing what where in the final sequences that just, you know, with the Star Killer, right? That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. And I found that clarified better in the book to kind of, you know, figure out which stage, you know, who was at which stage of those final sequences. So, you know, and it answers questions. I wrote in the review, it answers questions like, well, how did Poe survive? You know, and what did he do? So things like that, which they're not important to the story, but just add a little bit more depth,
a little color,
a little to the story. So it was good. It was a good. It was weird. The author was a bit strange in that he would just throw in these huge words like just out of the blue.
He was strange when we rode the elevator with him too.
It was just a bit.
Isn't that the author?
What?
At Celebration? Or was that with Eric and not you?
Not me.
So at Star Wars Celebration, I went back to the Hilton and we were in the elevator and there's some guy and then some nerd is like freaking out in the background. And then after this guy gets off the elevator, he's like, "Do you know who that was?" And we're like, "No." He's like, "That's the guy who wrote the novelizations of the original trilogy, and he's doing the new one."
Oh, very cool. Okay. But he seemed to do it more at the beginning of the book and then lose that habit as the book went on. And so near the end, I didn't have to hit the dictionary button as often. I was reading it on Kindle, and so, you know, I didn't have to hit the dictionary button as often. So, and it could just be that I have a really poor vocabulary, but It was. It could be.
That's a great time to stutter.
Yeah, I know.
It could be.
What's the word I want?
But it was like, more wow. Just. It just more didn't fit in with the rest of the the rest of the language used. I found, you know, I felt like I was reading kind of a dime store novel, and then all of a sudden it'd be like, oh, I'm reading Melville. Yeah,
he had his word of the day calendar, and he decided he was going to work it in every day.
And I wasn't the only one. I found some people on Amazon who had a similar concern. It was funny because they raised one of the very same words that I had to look up. So I'm not alone in my. Lack of.
He just sat there with a thesaurus, and when he felt like he used a word too many times, he.
It's like Joy writing the letter.
Yeah. Yes.
My ventricle.
So, and then we're finally like in TV season again, right?
Yeah.
So
it's TV season two.
Yeah, so we got the family.
Family's
how good was it, Alex?
I mean, one of the best. Pilots of a drama that I've seen in a long time.
No, that'll so be exciting.
Joan Allen.
Yeah.
JB's really very, very excited.
We've got Uncle Buck. I watched the pilot of that today.
Did it feature the cabin?
It did not feature the cabin. And I'll leave it at
but
that.
But it somehow featured a cabin. I didn't watch it.
We've
Quantico
got
will return, right? Quantico no, not until March, right?
Yeah, March. And
good,
then
I can catch up.
God. Seriously?
I still only ever seen the first episode.
Season
it only
you,
went
you might not.
From
you might not oh, really? Make it.
Season okay. two of Secret and Lies.
Season
featuring
yeah,
oh,
Terry
that's
Quinn.
Right.
Oh. Yeah,
Terry Quinn. The is he walking now?
Yes.
So you know what's cool about the show is there's Terry Quinn's the dad, and he has these multiracial children.
Walt.
Yes, I believe Walt.
Whoa! I need to IMDb all of them now and make sure that none of them aren't Walt. I don't know what Walt would look like now.
And
he's not a child.
They don't mention it. What's like? It's never a thing.
That's becoming more and more of a thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
To make
that's
that
cool.
not a thing.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the Fantastic of Kings and Prophets.
I Oof. Want to like that really bad.
You won't. So the big controversy is probably not the word, but the confusion was they put a screener up online. Usually there's. There were elements in the screeners usually you don't see in broadcast television. And so the critics were confused. Like, you can't show that on television.
I was going to say, can you say what you saw?
Yeah.
I mean, there was nudity.
Yeah. Female.
Topless.
Topless nudity. Yeah.
Like actual showing the area that you cannot show.
Right, yes.
Yeah, like areolas and everything.
There you go.
Yes.
So. So I guess there's talk of like, so they talk about how they're really trying to push the, you know, sex and violence in this show, you know, because it's in the Bible. Fair enough, it's in the Bible, but that's not the point. It just seems weird to really, they're really pushing it for the sake of pushing it, not for the sake of storytelling.
Kind of like NYPD Blue did?
Yeah, except more.
Every cable show? Everything on HBO and show.
I mean, I don't watch HBO, but
they have their requisite huge scene like that. That really is only there because they can.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they did with Westworld.
Lisa Kudrow's the comeback
right?
head.
Westworld?
Wasn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's my understanding of Westworld. But, is they've highly sexualized it because they can.
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah. Except wait till you see the new season of Sesame Street.
Homeland started that way. Like the first two episodes, just like some of the most.
Graphic.
And then it stopped. It's almost like they got a complaint going, what's this is only here because you can.
It's because yeah. Obama started
they never
watching.
Had one more for the whole first season.
Oh, okay.
So
that looks bad streak.
So there's talk of like doing an online version of the show and stuff. But it just, I mean, and I don't know enough about the story to know what is
right.
Real is not the right word, but the biblically based and what is there to flesh it out,
yes.
So to speak. So it would be interesting to, you know, I mean, I don't have that perspective on it, but just from pure storytelling from am I engaged in the story? No. Not at all.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
They say it's Game of Thrones without the dragons. You know the coolest part of Game of Thrones? Dragons.
I thought it was that Ice Throne.
Winter's coming. I don't know. I haven't seen Game of Thrones.
I've never seen it. I don't even have a clue what it's about other than weird stuff.
I heard that the
coolest
part
of Game
of Thrones? Yeah.
The I just know the South Park episode.
It's very much not your taste.
Yeah. That show, Because They Can, has...
Yes, I am aware of that about the show, is it pushes that envelope.
Yes.
And it has not decided to stop, like Homeland.
And then on the sitcom side, I think there's only The Real O'Neills, which is your...
Uncle Buck.
I love...
Oh, Uncle
Buck.
I thought we were talking about comedy.
I am really enjoying The Real O'Neills. They put two episodes up to screen, and I had already seen the pilot back in fall before it was in its final airing version, but I just love it. It's this incredibly dysfunctional, waspy family falling apart, and it's hilarious.
Well, I'm in love with NBC's Superstore and Telenovela.
Superstore is great. I didn't get into Telenovela. I gave it a couple episodes. Yeah,
I loved it. She doesn't speak Spanish.
It didn't grab me the same way as. But I really love Superstore.
Superstore is delightful.
Superstore was really good.
Yeah,
Superstore is funny.
Yes,
I've worked in a theme park.
I was gonna say you
a little
can't,
too close to home.
Yeah, you can't do.
You
those.
Felt
you,
that way
you
about
couldn't
the
do
Office
either. He can't do workplace comedy
because I, as a low level manager.
Michael.
Seeing those idiots.
Michael.
I wasn't as charming as Michael.
That's for sure.
You just want to go like, just fire them. Fire them all.
I work with you. I know that's not how you feel.
It's how I feel. It's not how I act.
And thankfully you do, because I still have a job.
I was surprised to see Flynn Rider on Telenovela, though.
Oh, which one is he?
He's
the exec.
Yeah.
He's the one who was talking Spanish to her, and she didn't know who he was.
Oh, I didn't know
she didn't know what
that's,
he was saying.
That's Eugene?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That show was hilarious.
Otherwise known as Chuck.
That was Chuck?
Yes.
Zachary Levi.
He is such a chameleon.
Yes. What was he in? Guardians?
Guardians. Yeah.
Thor.
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 He took over for Prince Charming from
Once
Upon a Time.
Yeah, but he was Friendall, I think.
Yeah.
Was,
yeah.
He is...
The handsome.
Yeah. Really oh, no, he's amazing in telenovela. Yeah.
He probably doesn't
I was very happy
Spanish.
To see him.
There's a little meta thing going on there.
You never know.
Does
in
he
that
Longoria
industry.
Speak Spanish?
I don't know. Isn't she Italian?
I did. On the Golden Globes, I did really like their
Does
intro.
He play
did
baseball?
You see them?
No,
they had
Evan
they had
Longoria,
they had Eva Longoria and America Ferrera
yes.
introduce something, and she was like, "I'm Eva Longoria, not Eva." She listed some other Latina actress with a similar name.
Yes,
but then America Ferrera was like, "And I'm America Ferrera, not Gina Rodriguez."
That was so
and
harsh.
She, I guess, often like even when interviewed on the red carpet, people say like start asking her about Fast and Furious and Lost, and she's like, "I'm not Gina Rodriguez."
I'm
Michelle.
No,
sorry,
she,
Michelle.
But she
Rodriguez.
Said
no,
Gina
no, no,
Rodriguez,
no, no.
who
it
is from
no, it
Jane
is.
The Virgin,
she meant
right?
she meant Gina
oh, okay.
Rodriguez
okay.
because she was used in they. They used a picture when announcing the nominees. They used a picture of America instead of Gina
How
when
funny.
They were announcing the nominees. Right? That's
I think so. Yeah,
that's my memory. America okay. So yeah, it's very funny. I was very all I do when it comes to award shows is look at pictures of the red carpet on E or someplace and look at the pictures of the what the women are wearing and then I'm done.
Mm.
And then I look at the and because the Golden Globes have Ricky. I look at the tweets of what obnoxious things Ricky has said, and then I move on.
I like him, actually.
Oh, no. I didn't say I don't like him. I just look. Yeah. He's just obnoxious.
I'm looking for because 2012. What the heck?
Wow.
2015 was such a year of diversity in Hollywood that I cannot wait to see how it's celebrated at the Oscars next month.
Isn't that going to be interesting to see how ABC and has to handle that?
I bet you there will be a special salute to people of color thrown in there.
It'll
somewhere.
Be it'll be interesting to see how they answer to the
hosted by Chris Rock.
To see yes, it
think
is.
You'll have
it,
a word
it,
or two to say about it.
It is hosted by Chris Rock and Whoopi Goldberg, who's on the View, has made her voice known that she finds the boycott calls to be ridiculous. She's
Wait
not.
A second.
She's not in support of the boycott
Me
calls.
And Whoopi Goldberg. Are on
I know
the same
you agree on something.
Issue.
Yeah. So
Whoopi,
I am in pain.
And
I might be wrong.
And but it'll be interesting to see how the Academy decides to address it. There's you know one of the ideas that to me makes the most sense is within other organizations you have a kind of an honorarium member, but then you have an active voting member. So kind of like what the baseball writers did, where if you're no longer covering baseball, you can't vote on baseball anymore.
Is the thought these Academy members are too old to
and racist
vote for a black
person? The thought is that perhaps the racial diversity of the voting board would be adjusted if the demographic were adjusted to the active members of the.
The interesting thing, though, is a decade ago there were far more nominees and winners.
I'm not saying no.
Maybe it's the young people that are the problem.
I don't know. I just know that the voice is being, whether or not you agree with what the voting is, you would at least have a demographic base that would be less offensive to modern sensibilities. But I don't know if they'll go with that. I mean, honestly, the Academy president is black, and so. So it's not.
That's just the comedy of it. They're voting for what they feel are the best nominees, and they're being accused of being racist, and I can't stop laughing.
Yeah, but like I say, I'll be interested to see if it causes them to find some way to address the demographics. I think
the best solution I've heard is just to have a separate award category for black.
But I mean, I guess the concern.
Some people have suggested that.
Yes, that has been. I have heard that suggested.
So, I mean, I guess the big...
I think in response, they'll have a separate category when you have the BET Awards, right?
Yes, they'll have the Best White Actor.
I'm just so sad that it's... And
Obama will win both.
I'm so sad that it's...
I agree that the Academy shouldn't be...
You're not even an actor.
Tyler Perry will win both.
You can't be a president without being an actor.
Okay,
I feel like
true.
The Academy might not be as diverse as it should be, but that doesn't
the body.
Mean... The body. I mean, yeah. It's 94% white. Which is a little high.
Yeah, but it's indicative of an era. I mean, of a history.
Right, and so I can
which
see
is why I like the which is why the idea of being active within the industry might be a good prerequisite for whether or not you're a member of the voting body.
Right, and so
not that you lose your spot in that
academy.
Or at least
show that you know a black person.
No, yeah. I mean, remember when there was a big issue that people weren't even seeing the movies. And how what a big deal that was. Yes. So, I mean, it's...
But all these things are so cronies.
Yep.
I mean, and that's the... I mean, I think to me that's the bigger problem. I mean, and I mean, I'm not...
The who cares? It's an award.
Right. Well, so, but such... here's the thing that drives me crazy.
Gold.
With the Oscars is... I mean, I'm not losing sleep over the demographics of the acting nominees at all.
Your people were nominated. To try.
The tribe is well
if
represented.
If only there were more Jews in Hollywood.
The tribe is well represented.
The producer category is still good.
We're okay.
But like it's like there's this type of film that wins, or at least nominated.
Oh, exactly.
And there's the type of film that just will never be nominated. And
Star Wars.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'm not saying Star Wars deserved or not. That's not my point. But
the critics thought so.
I thought so.
It's just.
But does there come a point where, as a voting body, you need to recognize the fact that if you're voting for a bunch of films that nobody sitting at home on TV has seen, perhaps they might lose interest in your award ceremony?
But they don't
what
care.
What needs to happen is let them be what they want to be, and we can just stop caring.
But that's what I'm saying.
We'll
it'll be
the People's Choice
it'll
Award.
Be interesting
no,
to
see. There's, and a,
that
there's
one.
A line in there somewhere. And People's Choice
Foreign Press.
No, see, you go through. You know, at Hollywood and Highland, they have. The Oscars are every they have the year and then
yes.
the movie that won.
Yes.
And obviously like Lord of the Rings is a movie people saw and
yes.
but you can see a line.
Silence.
You know, thank you Mr. Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
Where it started being movies that no one cared to see.
Yes.
And
the piano.
That's
Shakespeare in Love.
It's just Chocolate frustrating out. Because I mean selfishly ABC has the Oscars, it'd be nice if people cared.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as much a celebration of film as it is a celebration of artsy film.
Cronyism.
Yeah.
Who had the best marketing campaign within the body is how it feels now.
I don't have any voting recognition with the Academy. Some people think I do because I get tons and tons of junk mail for voting for award show.
Because I'm a little behind on my movie.
And so the amount of money they spend to target a couple thousand people is unbelievable.
Target badly, apparently.
apparently. Yeah. I mean, you're
well, no, but when you have a small budget, I mean, my understanding, I haven't done a lot of reading on it, but my understanding is that's part of what the challenge was with Selma, was they didn't have the kind of budget to be able to even try and take on the academy, you know. It's in essence like the person who would like to be president but can't mount a campaign because, you know, just you have to have so much money in order to become president.
Baffling with movies that's the, but who cares? If this is what the Academy is, let them be what they want to be, and then let the public move on.
Right, and it'll be. But that's what I will be interested. That's why I will be interested to see how this plays out. Does this play out in a way that seems to embrace television? There's an audience remaining a viable product to the masses, or will there be a? Well, you know what? We're a niche. We'll stay a niche. Yeah. You know,
TV's better anyway.
So
than the Oscars because that's where the real creative stuff is being.
So I'll be interested to see how the Academy decides to handle it because they can't ignore it. This is the second year in a row. This is the second year in a row, and thanks to social media, it's a topic that will not go away now.
Well, and I am thrilled because Queen of Katwe.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling Lupita Nyong'o's performance may get a little bit more consideration than it would have otherwise.
Oh, won't that be interesting? That'll be an interesting turn. But see, another thing that's really irritating me right now is when people, this is one of the things I learned because of my years listening to movie critic Rod Lurie on the radio, was whenever somebody would call in and say, so-and-so should have been nominated for an award, he would say, well, who would you drop?
Right.
And that, I would love to hear some of the cries of, you know, we needed a nominee in this category, that court. Tell me who shouldn't therefore be there, because then I can have some idea as to the. I don't want to say credibility of the concern, but I mean sometimes, unfortunately, right now because it's coming from Jada Pinkett Smith,
right,
it comes like sour grapes. Right. I mean, it's just the unfortunate reality of the circumstance she finds herself. Because it's on ABC is why I have been paying more attention, because I'm very curious to see, will it impact ratings? It's definitely going to make Chris Rock a much, people are going to, I wonder if people will actually tune in a bit more to see how Chris Rock handle it.
Chris Rock's monologue.
Yeah.
I want to see nothing else. But I want to see Chris
Rock's monologue. And it'll be interesting to see, will we have some sort of protest? I mean, has been known, you know, for social commentary. The red ribbons, the Native American representation picking up the award for Marlon Brando, you know, a streaker. You know, these are things that have happened over the years with the Academy.
Global warming was big that one year.
Mm-hmm. And then Philadelphia, you know, Tom Hanks with Philadelphia. So I will be.
You like me, self-esteem. Sally Field.
Yeah, that's what that was about. So it will be very interesting.
Jack Collins for
the old men can still
the
do stuff.
Group, and then the Chairwalker Society.
Yes, the needy representing the Chairwalker Society. So and, wow, I used to actually watch the Academy Awards. I couldn't name that many events from recent years.
John Travolta from the Annunciation Professionals of America.
Yeah. So. But like I said, so I'll be interested to see through Twitter what it is, because I think yet again I won't be watching.
I haven't
watched in years.
You can, if you watch, join the fun of the Laughing Place live vlog.
Because you guys are morons during it, right? You do your inanity.
Yeah. Well, we find a Disney connection to everything.
That is fun.
And then we shut up during the in memoriam.
Yeah.
And then we find a Disney connection to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Although we will honor those that from the Disney community. I don't know who would
rank. Who do we have from 15?
Herbie. I mean, not Herbie.
Dude! And the film, he was overshown by a bug. And
Dean
death,
Cain.
He is overshown by a bug.
Dean Jones.
Dean
Cain can't die.
Oh, that's true.
Kryptonite.
Nothing bad has ever happened to someone who has performed as Superman.
Can you imagine? Yeah, no.
I would not take that role.
No, it's a cursed role.
Like
the
kid in Poltergeist.
Uh huh. So yeah. What else has been?
Disney did get very few nominations, but among them, best animated feature. They're the only family film to get nominated. No, not the only family film, but the only major animation studio to get best animation.
Yeah.
No Minions.
So one of the other films, though, that's nominated is When Marnie Was There, which is from Japan. It's a Studio Ghibli film.
That's right.
And Disney did co-finance it because of their agreement to distribute all their films in Japan on home video. So if that wins instead of Inside Out, technically I think we can still claim it as Disney.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then Sanjay Secret Service got nominated?
Sanjay Super Team?
He
was asking me, what's the name of the guy from Sanjay that created Sanjay Super Team?
He's asked me too.
Yeah, Sanjay and Patel? a lot of technical awards for Star Wars, obviously.
Whoop-de-doo.
John Williams for, then ILM for Revenant, as well as
And Best Picture nominee for the unnamed spy thriller.
Yeah, Bridge of Spies.
Yeah, and Bridge of
Mike Rylance was nominated for Bridge of Spies for supporting actor.
And Bridge of Spies is also nominated against John Williams for score, which is interesting because I remember when I was reviewing Bridge of Spies in the press kit, it talked about the guy who did the score, whose name escapes me right now. But he mentioned that, like, typically John Williams does Steven Spielberg movies, and he was unavailable due to Star Wars, and so he was kind of pulled in last minute to do Bridge of Spies, and it would be interesting if that won, because if Star Wars wasn't there, John Williams
Julie
probably would have.
Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
They, 50th nomination for
Thomas
John
Newman, is that it?
Thomas Newman, yes. Thomas Newman. Who is related to Randy Newman.
He is?
Mm-hmm. He is.
How so?
Brothers?
I want to say cousins.
Cousins?
And they're all related.
Brothers.
I want to say cousins.
And they're
cousins.
All related to Alfred E., right?
I want to say it's a cousin. We'll see.
Big Bang Buck, you know that.
And for those of you who enjoy unique movie presentations,
Hollywood Dynasty.
Be sure to look around because Raiders of the Lost Ark is currently traveling around with a live score. So they're screening the film and then providing the music live. And some other films are doing that as well, but that was the one that I thought of for Disney fans.
And they announced, with details to be revealed soon, there's an Alfred Newman.
That's his father, yeah. Alfred Newman.
Yeah, the Alfred Newman scoring stage at 20th Century Fox is legendary, but yeah. Star Wars in Concert.
Oh,
which I believe they've done before. But this is it's coming to a city near you from Disney.
Very cool.
It says, take part in an unforgettable concert experience of cutting-edge visual technology and sound design. The iconic music of John Williams will guide you through the legendary battle of light and dark and immerse you in the worlds, characters, and stories of Star Wars.
You know, the most important thing in a concert is the visuals.
All I know is when they're, like, asking people for if they have any requests, I'm going to go, Urite! Urite!
Yeah, I have no idea.
From Return of the Jedi.
In the
Thank
special
you.
Edition.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're an original trilogy gal, you might not know it.
Yeah, geek level just went way beyond mine.
I can do that voice of yours right now.
Excuse me, in the original trilogy, he did not request any song the band just played, and it was far less memorable.
So Lin-Manuel, the Hamilton guy.
Sure.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Okay.
Who did In the Heights.
Yes.
And Hamilton, like the big successful.
Huge as Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. Sang with Alan Menken on Playbill.
Yes.
That was fun.
And
was it on Playbill?
No, it was not on Playbill. It was like on their video, their YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And he also did music for Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
and he is doing the music for Moana.
Mm-hmm.
What music did he do for Star Wars?
In the cantina.
The cantina song.
Oh, okay.
Like Maz. So there's he's kind of like on the cusp of Disney.
Gotcha.
The Disney world. So it'll be interesting to see if he becomes the next Bobby Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Cappuccino.
Yeah.
Aww.
Who was on that Captain America special on ABC.
Yeah.
I recorded it, but I haven't seen it yet.
I saw the coolest tweet by Michael Cappuccino the other day.
Giacchino.
Yeah. Something like, thanks to everyone who helped me with my quest to see Laurel and Hardy filming locations today.
Aww.
That's how he spent his day, was finding filming locations for Laurel and Hardy.
That's very cool.
That's so awesome.
Nothing like a guy who does score trying to find silent film stars bombing locations.
Hey, score was a very big deal. That is the perfect fit. Ugh, what else is happening in the world?
I would like to ask the team their opinion of something very important to certain people in this house. What is your favorite animatronic in Carousel of Progress?
Ooh, Carousel of Progress? Ooh, I wonder who asked that in this house.
My personal favorite is the daughter on the, jiggly machine.
Hey, this is Johnny.
That clodhopper Howard you're going with.
Which sequence is that, little man? That's part of the Halloween portion.
I like Grandma when she puts on the shades and starts schooling.
Who's the rebel flying ace now?
In the video game circa 1979. She's pretty hot. I mean,
you know.
the way I
the what's fun about that video game sequence too.
She's pretty cool.
Yeah, what's funny about the video game sequence too is that Nintendo did try to have a virtual reality-esque system.
Yeah,
the graphics were nowhere near as cool, nor was the execution, because you had to sit looking down at the table. But I still wish that kind of thing. I mean, the Wii has that kind of controller.
Isn't
as
it coming
glove.
Like now though, like the Oculus and all
yes,
that?
Yes, that's Google Rift. Cardboard.
Oculus Rift.
Google Cardboard is, but they don't have a glove to go with it yet. But they have games now where you move your head around and stuff. And
do you think they were inspired to put the glove in based on the movie The Wizard, which had that Nintendo glove? Which had one game.
I wanted
power
glove so bad.
We had a power glove.
I did not have a power glove.
It was not
worth having. I couldn't do those because of that movie Battle Beyond the Stars. There was a glove in that was just really freaky. And so the whole power glove scenario, I never went there.
We were huge into... my older brother was huge into Nintendo. I kind of lived vicariously through his Nintendo phase. But original Nintendo, I mean. But The Wizard had a huge impact, profound impact on his life. And he ended up getting the power glove. And I remember him being quite disappointed with the execution of it.
My brother loved The Wizard.
The Wizard was huge in my house.
So what's your favorite, fanboy?
Rover number three.
My favorite is patriotic Uncle Orville.
No privacy at all around this place.
Yeah, especially since I saw somebody who snuck backstage and took pictures. And mechanics. There's I never thought about it.
Of course.
Every
animatronic. I didn't think about it either, but it's obvious. Every animatronic, what you see is all there is.
I've been behind John Wayne's horse on Great Movie Ride, and it is not, there's not the other half of the horse on the other side.
It's just weird to think about. Yeah. And another picture was the dad in the, in the kitchen with the oven.
Yeah.
And there's a stick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's an upper body, but there's just a stick.
That is just weird.
So, yeah, it's just bizarro. Yes, honey, I will find that picture for you sometime. I don't know where it is.
Come over here.
I don't know where it is.
We've got one more input here, and then we'll close the show. Your favorite animatronic, quickly.
I think my favorite animatronic is Bowser number 2.
Why?
Just because he's sitting in the chair backwards.
Why is he sitting in the chair backwards? Tell the people. Gideon said he's sitting in the chair backwards because that's the one that takes place on the 4th of July. So he's off from work and he wasn't expecting company.
Oh, okay.
So he's just relaxing in the chair.
Well, that's a good theory.
No, it's time to close the show. It's time to close the show. Thank you, Gideon, for your input. Anybody else have any final words of wisdom, or usually otherwise in our case, before we say goodbye?
Have a great, big, beautiful day.
There's a great, big, beautiful day. It's over. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Closer to, and tomorrow is just a dream away.